It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being locked in all over North America, wherever you might be, at home, at work, on the road. Maybe you're learning something. Maybe you're at camp. Maybe you're at school. You're sitting in traffic with some idiot in front of you. No road rage, please. Don't call them an idiot. Maybe you're the idiot driving a car. I don't know. Anyway, I'm the idiot here on the airwaves. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours, okay? Show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always tune in on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM channel 375, and a smart speaker if you got one. Ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, we've already talked about a lot. Jerry Jones pretty much insulting Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons, saying these guys are hurt. Why am I paying them? They hurt. Heard the same thing from Mike Brown. Why do I want to pay a guy? One day he might be arrested. Why do I want to pay him? That's Mike Brown on Shamar Stewart, his rookie who hasn't signed his deal. Said he thinks he'll have a deal with Trey Hendrickson. Chris Paul is on his way to the Clippers. Marcus Smart is on his way to the Lakers. Manny Pacquiao fought to a draw, inspiring 46-year-old boxers all over the world. Good luck. As we continue on with the show, we'll talk about Scottie Scheffler in a few minutes. WNBA players looking for more money. We're going to have a chat in about 20 minutes with Teresa Walker, who covers the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis out for the season. No turnovers from Will Levis this year. And now we'll see Cam Ward, I assume, be QB number one. So much to get into. President of the United States wants the Commanders and Guardians to change their names back. What? There's so much to do. You want to be a part of the show? You can. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Yeah, Dallas Cowboy training camp open, Oxnard, California. Cincinnati Bengals opening up their training camp. Yes, but it was a busy weekend. Told you about Manny Pacquiao. And then so congratulations to Scottie Scheffler as well, winning the Open Championship. He's only now missing the U.S. Open. He has to wait until next year in Long Island. Hey, let's take a listen to Scottie Scheffler winning the Open yesterday on NBC.
And Scottie Scheffler has his Open Championship and the third leg of golf's Grand Slam.
He has to wait until the U.S. Open next year in June to try to go ahead and complete the Grand Slam. So he's now won four major tournaments. And, of course, people are looking at this guy. He's 29 years old. And they're like, you gonna catch Tiger Woods? You gonna catch Tiger? Tiger Woods has 15 of these things. We know he ain't winning another one. I don't know what Tiger Woods is doing. Probably rehabbing somewhere, watching his son. But anyway, Scottie Scheffler was like, man, stop with the Tiger Woods stuff. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I still think they're a bit silly. You know, Tiger won, what, 15 majors? It's my fourth. Just got 1/4 of the way there. So just, I mean, it's, I think Tiger stands alone in the game of golf. You know, he was inspirational for me growing up, and he was a very, very talented guy, and he was a special person to be able to be as good as he was in the game of golf.
Of course, the media couldn't give him a break. They asked him about Tiger Woods some more. Well, are you not motivated to try to catch him?
I don't focus on that kind of stuff. That's not what motivates me. I'm not motivated by winning championships, and I don't look at the beginning of the year and just say, hey, I want to win X amount of tournaments. I want to win, you know, whatever it is. I don't do that. I have dreams and aspirations that I think about, but at the end of the day, you know, when I wake up and to practice, you know, I feel like what motivates me is just getting out and, you know, getting to live out my dream. I get to play professional golf, and I feel like I'm called to do it to the best of my ability. And so when I wake up in the morning, I try and put max effort in.
Oh, good for him. That's better than the comments he made last week where he pretty much said that what he's doing is not fulfilling. Like, damn, bro. Okay, all right. Well, keep on winning. I know that money is fulfilling. Millions of dollars that he wins from every tournament. Congratulations to 29-year-old Scottie Scheffler. who's 1 year younger than the man that Manny Pacquiao fought, Mario Barrios, on Saturday. Congratulations to, well, not Manny Pacquiao. Bacha, congratulations to him for standing up and not being, beat to a pulp, right?
That's something. If you're walking and you're not physically damaged, that's a win.
It is. Congratulations, 46-year-old Manny Pacquiao, even though you didn't win, he drew. Congratulations to 29-year-old Scottie Scheffler. Let's see if he completes the Grand Slam. We got to wait basically about a year to see what he can do out in the Hamptons or Southampton next year. Speaking of trying to get something done, the WNBA is trying to come to an agreement with its players as they try to establish a new collective bargaining agreement. We know Major League Baseball had its All-Star game last Tuesday. The WNBA had its All-Star game on Saturday night. And team Nafisa Collier won 151 over team Caitlin Clark, 131. So 151 to 131. Apparently, no defense was played. I did not sit down and watch this game. I did not. There was no Caitlin Clark. She's still out with a groin issue. Botch, did you watch any of it?
Nope. I was out at the beach on Saturday. Didn't get home till very, very late, and I had no interest in watching a replay.
Yeah. Oh, damn, bro. Yeah.
Well, I saw it on social media.
No, but I'm saying no. Who's somebody's watching a WNBA All-Star game on replay? What, five people in America?
Are DVRs still a thing? Maybe a few people there?
Yeah, maybe. A DVR? Possibly, maybe. Anyway, outside of the game, the WNBA players wanted to make a big statement prior to the start of the game. Apparently, more than 40 players has sat down with ownership and the team representatives about establishing a new CBA, which is going to expire in October of this year. And so if they can't come to an agreement, there may not be a WNBA season that starts on time next year in 2026. And so the players, not being happy with the negotiations during the All-Star break, before the game, they all wore shirts. All the All-Stars wore shirts that basically said, hey, pay us what you owe us. And it's like, well, damn. That's kind of an aggressive stance to management and the owners. And then Kelsey Plum, after the game took place, she was sitting there with Sabrina Ionescu, and they were talking about the shirts and why they were wearing them. Kelsey Plum started off by explaining the shirts, and then she went into dissing Caitlin Clark. Listen to what Kelsey Plum had to say about the shirts.
I think it was just all of us getting on the same page for the game. We wanted to do something that was just united and collective, and I thought that it was a very powerful moment and got the point across. And, you know, sometimes you don't have to say anything.
You did. You wore a T-shirt. It said enough. Nafisa Collier, probably going to be the MVP of the league this year. She was also asked about the shirts and what they meant and why the hell you decided to wear them. Listen to her.
You know, the players of what is building this brand and this league. There is no league without the players. And, you know, the past, present, the ones coming up, they're the ones that have put in the blood, sweat, and tears for the new money that's coming in. And so we feel like we are owed a piece of that pie that we helped to create. So that's basically what that is.
Okay. All right. Oh, boy, this is tough here. Kelsey Plum then decided to take a shot at Caitlin Clark, who didn't play. When it came down to the shirts and who was going to wear them and whatnot, for whatever reason, if you're supposed to be working together as a group and as a team, as a collective, the players, why are you going to bash the biggest player, the biggest star in the league, the biggest name? Listen to Kelsey Plum talk about Caitlin Clark.
It's a very powerful moment. We didn't, at least as players, we didn't know that that was going to happen. I think it was kind of like a genuine surprise, but the T-shirt, just united front, was determined this morning that we had a meeting for. And, you know, not to tattletale, but zero members of Team Clark were very present for that. But no, we were just, we had a very...
That really needed to be mentioned.
I'm trying to make a situation light, okay? But...
No, it just sounded silly. It sounded immature. And I mean, if this is the tone and tenor that you have in public while talking to the media, are we hearing ridiculous things like this said to the owners, like in the commissioner? Like, that was petty and tacky. That wasn't keeping things like that. Just sounded stupid. It didn't sound bright by Kelsey Plum. Like, Caitlin Clark is the biggest star. She's probably one of the reasons why the WNBA just got this new television deal. It's an 11-year deal that starts next year. $2.2 billion over 11 years. Now, that's a big number. I'm not going to tell you $2.2 billion is not a lot of money. We sure as hell know it is. But it's really only $200 million a year. Okay, that's not a lot of money. You think about the WNBA expanding. You think about more markets and more teams. We got the Golden State Valkyries. I think they have a valuation of about, I think, $400 million, $500 million. The New York Liberty are probably in that same range when it comes down to a valuation. But you can buy in on the valuation of a team. It doesn't mean that, you know, the money is right there in front of you. It's one thing to have value. It's another thing to actually have revenue. And the WNBA, I mean, as a league, according to the Washington Post last year, they hauled in $200 million, but then still ended the year with a loss. Okay? That means that they're spending more money or don't have money to cover everything. We know that the NBA basically has subsidized the league, and I can't sit here and tell you, you know, all the numbers and all the expenses. I do not have that. But I do know in 28 years, the league has never turned a profit. And if I have to think about the gate, how many people are showing up to games at these smaller arenas? Caitlin Clark is the main driver for the big stadiums, or the arenas, I should say. Like, the money has to come from somewhere. And unless somebody's going to just massively invest into the league, that's going to be tough. And when you haven't made money in 28 years, I would think if I'm the NBA and I'm some of the owners that are subsidizing the league, I want to make my money back before I start giving some of it to you. So it's a tough situation. I mean, you think about WNBA players, their salaries are still pretty much $66,000 to $250,000. And so they're not out here breaking the bank. WNBA players, they want to make money. Man, they got to start earning some first. Like, you can't go out here and split what's not there. Caitlin Clark putting her two cents here about these negotiations, and this is what she had to say.
We should be paid more, and hopefully that's the case moving forward as the league continues to grow. I think that's something that's probably the most important thing that we're in the room advocating about.
Everybody wants to be paid more, but the money has to be there. Like, is the money there from sponsorship? Is the money there from the gate? Where exactly is this money coming from? They want a bigger piece of the pie as the money is split. Typically, you think about the leagues, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, the money is split almost at a 50-50, almost. It leans one percentage point towards the other. But it's basically a 50-50. In the WNBA, it's been reported the players receive 10% of basketball-related income. Maybe that's because the money is not there. And the people, the stakeholders who started the league, they want their money back. I think that's understandable. Bacha, am I off base?
No, it's 100% accurate that for a product that has very rarely, if not at all, made any real profits as a league and an organization, it's hard to really change what's been set in stone already. It's just, if you keep upping the percentage of that goes to the players, what cut is going to the production value, I don't know, paying the employees, the businesses, having everything else run? If you take a piece away without seeing growth, I really can't support that.
Well, I think the players see the growth, but I don't think the players see the debt. And I think they look at the percentage of what they have coming in. This is not the NBA. This is not the NFL. Like, there is an outside entity that has basically kept the league alive. And those NBA owners, I don't care if you're a brand new guy in like Matt Ishbia, or you've been with the team, you know, like the Buss family, even though they recently sold. if you've been around for the entire existence of the WNBA. Like, I want my money back. I haven't made any. And so how about we make some money before we start upping what you get? And so I'm sure that's where the players are mad, and rightfully so. You want more money as you see money coming in. But what about the people who help build it up? This is no different than any other investor. Somebody invests into something. They're going to want their return before you can start going out here pocketing more of the cash. And so let's see if the WNBA players, if they give, or whether or not they're just going to start beating the hell out of each other, you know, as they move towards this next CBA. If they don't get it done by the time next season starts, I don't know if it's going to work out for the WNBA if they have a lockout. I think you'll have more of the players who will just do what they've done over the years. Go overseas as much as they've reluctantly decided to do so, or continue on with their own, you know, three-on-three leagues that they've started here in the States. I think everybody wants to get paid more money, but it has to come from somewhere, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, speaking of money, the man who was selected number one overall by the Tennessee Titans looks like he has an easier pathway to the job. I'm talking about Cam Ward now that Will Levis is out for the season. We don't hear anything about Cam Ward, which is probably a good thing. We'll get into that conversation on the other side of the break with Teresa Walker, who covers all things Titans for the Associated Press. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Dallas Cowboys owner talks, says crazy things. Mike Brown speaks, says crazy things. Meanwhile, the Tennessee Titans, kind of quiet until today. We learned that Will Levis is going to be out for the entire season due to that shoulder issue he suffered from last year. Looks like this clears a way for Cam Ward to ultimately be the starter. You got Brian Callahan, who's coming through in his second year. You have a new GM. So it looks like the Tennessee Titans are in a good spot to move forward. To talk about the Titans, what has taken place, what we can expect between now and the start of the season, joining us right now is someone who covers all things Tennessee sports for the Associated Press. We're here with Teresa Walker. Teresa, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. The news about Will Levis came a little bit by surprise this morning, because it was just barely a month ago that he was talking about how he was looking forward to training camp and you know, how he felt so much better with his second full off season in Brian Callahan's offense, and that he was looking forward to, you know, showing that he can make the right decisions and throw the ball where it needs to go. And then it's like, whoops. Now we get the statement this morning that he consulted with doctors and his representatives. This was a Will Levis choice. Hmm. Now, he hurt the shoulder, AC joint in his right shoulder, his throwing shoulder, last year, diving for first down against Miami. And then they had a bye. He came back and he said that, yes, the shoulder bothered him in a 3-point loss to the Colts. He had a late interception. He had a lot of interceptions last year. He had 26 total lost turnovers, interceptions, and fumbles. And, you know, but that's the thing. There hadn't been any mention of it through the offseason. He was at the offseason program with the Titans, plenty of time to take care of this. And that's the thing that kind of was surprising. Cam Ward has been the number one pick overall. Let's put it this way. Brian Callahan is saying we're rotating. There's a quarterback competition. All signs pointed to Cam Ward starting September 7th when they open the season at Denver. And the rest of the competition, seemed to just be for backup. And Will Levis seemed to be the person best positioned to do that. Why? Because the Titans brought in Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle. And let's face it, I mean, Will Levis, he was the 33rd pick overall. That he's going into his third year. And then for this was a surprise.
Teresa, do you think he saw, and this could be bad, I mean, not playing football or being away from the team seems like a bad idea, but do you think he ultimately saw the writing on the wall and is like, screw this, I might as well start thinking about free agency?
Well, that's the thing. He's still on his rookie deal, so they have him under contract through next year. And there was a lot of folks saying, well, maybe they trade him at the end of the preseason. Maybe a team like New Orleans decides they want somebody with starting experience. And, you know, he does have that, even though his record isn't that great as a starting quarterback. But, you know, that's the thing. If he's trying to get a jump on free agency, it's a 17-game NFL season these days. You're going to pretty much have a chance to play at some point, even if Cam Ward becomes, you know, whatever the Titans absolutely hope and their biggest and wildest dreams and hopes. But the challenge is, usually you see that backup quarterback, right? So opportunity, especially for this franchise, has been around for several seasons. I'm trying to think of a season where they didn't play at least a second or maybe even a third quarterback, and I'm coming up with a problem with that. So he would have had a chance to play. And how do you make your best case playing in an offense that you're a bit more comfortable with? They did go out and hopefully fix the offensive line in front of the quarterback. And that's the thing. If you got a better line, you've got some better pieces around you, you're in position to show that you can be better. His best chance seemed to be here with this offense. And that's the thing. Guys, there's 7 weeks before the season opens. They report for camp tomorrow. Maybe, you know, I have to wonder what was the idea of rest and rehabilitation? You know, why was that not a chance here? You know, because you could start the season on the PUP list and give yourself time to be ready this season. And instead, it's have surgery down for the season.
And Teresa Walker is joining us, covers all things Tennessee Titans for the Associated Press. I guess on the other end, if we got to take a look at things from a Cam Ward's perspective, we hear more about the other quarterbacks selected in the draft than Cam Ward, who was selected number one overall. What's the consensus? I think the fact that things have been kind of quiet bodes well for him and his development, no?
Oh, absolutely, because he hasn't been quiet here. I mean, he's been, when they were on the field in the offseason program, he's, you know, trash-talking back and forth with three-time Pro Bowl defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons. He's had rookies in at 5 in the morning, making sure they were all on the same page for what was going to be practice that day. They all watched every game from last season, that he's been trying to make sure that he can do everything he can to, one, lead, and two, make sure that the rookies are as prepared and ready for what to be on the same page with him as possible. And now he goes into the training camp. Well, Levis isn't here. And, so it might end up being a help that they're not splitting up reps between four quarterbacks. Yeah. We get the GM and the coach tomorrow when they report. I'm really curious, do they try to add another quarterback or just go with these three? The benefit is Cam Ward. He gets to keep working. And Callahan did a thing in the offseason as well. He mixed up the locker room. Calvin Ridley has been beside Cam Ward. So they've been building camaraderie, chemistry. He's been working to do that with everybody on the offensive side of the ball. And I cannot wait to see what this young man can do, because on the practice field, you can see snippets of why the Titans fell in love with him and why they took him at number one.
Oh, Teresa, we know the reason why he's on the team is because the Titans, they won three games last year. Over the span of 2 years, they now have a new GM. They have a coach who's now in his second year. And now you have, hopefully, what is the franchise QB. What is the expectation of what this team is going to look like? What is going to be the calling card? Has Brian Callahan kind of shared his philosophy on that yet?
Well, there's been talk about trying to be a fast strike offense, get that ball down the field. We certainly didn't see it last year. And they brought in Van Jefferson, Tyler Lockett, along with a bunch of day three draft picks to give Cam Ward some help and other targets to rev up this offense. But, none of it works unless you can protect the quarterback and give him a couple extra seconds. So, they brought in Dan Moore from Pittsburgh at left tackle. They brought in Kevin Zeitler from Detroit at right guard. They moved J.C. Latham from left tackle to right tackle, their first round pick from last year. So if they spent a ton of money last year, this year, they're trying to fill the holes and they still have a lot. But, this offense, if it comes anywhere close, they should be able to get the ball down the field. Cam Ward has shown he has an arm that can throw the ball and throw it down the field. So if they can do that, you know, they've got a posse kind of running back led by Tony Pollard. But here's the thing. They were so bad last year, there's very little room to go but up.
Now, that's factual. The team has had so much change. Is Amy Adams just going to let this one breathe a little bit? She said that Carthon was the guy, and then he wasn't the guy. She got rid of one of the best coaches in the league. He's now up in New England with Vrabel. Is Callahan going to get some rope here?
That's a question we all have here locally, because that's the thing. You know, she has been a person who has traditionally said and done for several years, you know, I like to hire people and let them do their jobs and not meddle. But, you know, she had only been the majority owner, controlling owner for a few months in 2015 when she fired Ken Whisenhunt. An easy decision. He was 3-20 at that point. But, you know, firing Mike Vrabel, yeah, you know, there are a lot of questions, because it seemed to be a reaction to a season lost with so many injuries. And then you fire Ryan Carthon after praising him. And guess what? Do any of us think that they spent all that money they spent in free agency under Ryan Carthon without her knowledge, her signing off? So it's like, yeah, if she's not patient, they open a new stadium in 27. So 2 years from now, it's going up. It looks great. But that's the thing. If she makes any more changes, it's going to be tough to keep selling tickets for a product that's going to hit that stadium in 2027.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. Teresa, to start wrapping things up, you said there's nowhere they can go but up in three games last year. What would be progress for a good season? Just Cam Ward being in competition for Rookie of the Year?
Well, I think that, but I mean, let's face it, it's the NFL. We saw Jaden Daniels take Washington to the playoffs last year in the AFC South. C.J. Stroud took Houston from last to first in his rookie year. So, I mean, it's the NFL. But, you know, they should at least be able to double their win total and get to six. They lost six games by 8 points or less last season. So if they can get even three of those, they're at six wins, which is a huge step in the other direction.
Yeah, most certainly. Well, I can't wait to see Cam Ward on the field. We got guys like Shador who capture a lot of the headlines. But I think it's a great thing that Cam Ward is working. Can't wait to see what the results start bearing in September. We'll see. Teresa, thank you so much for the time. Please tell everybody where they can keep up with you and all your work with the AP.
Well, you can download our app, AP News. It's free. And you can also follow me on X and Blue Sky at Teresa M. Walker.
Hey, Teresa, you're going to have plenty to keep up with. So thank you for the time. We'll catch you down the line, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you.
No doubt about it. Thank you so much to Teresa Walker, who covers all things Tennessee Titans. Earlier today, as she mentioned, a little surprising to hear that Will Levis is now going to be out for the season with shoulder surgery. This injury did take place last year. He thought he was just going to rest it away. He was out there practicing at minicamp. And now it's just like, oh, well, the issue is here. You cut me open. And so Will Levis will be out for the season, which basically pushes Cam Ward into that QB1 spot. Ain't nobody trying to see Brandon Allen or Tim Boyle out there. This is going to be the Cam Ward show. And it's going to be fun to watch. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, Teresa had mentioned Calvin Ridley, and he is going to be wide receiver one for the Tennessee Titans. Every time I think about Calvin Ridley, I think about his issues with gambling. Apparently, there's an NBA player, Terry Rozier. You might recall he was investigated for gambling. It looks like we have a few more things that have popped up. I think Terry Rozier might have a big problem on his hands. I'll explain on the other side of the break. We'll talk about the Commanders and Guardians. The president wants them to change their name. So we got a lot to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Teresa Walker for joining us in the last break to talk about the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis missed the turnover, is going to miss this entire season. He's going to have shoulder surgery. And Cam Ward is he going to take over, which is going to be absolutely fun. I think it was pretty much assumed. You took the guy number one overall. it was to move Will Levis out of the building. And maybe Will Levis saw the writing on the wall and he said, well, damn it, I'm going to remove myself from the situation completely. Whatever the case might be, okay? This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Botcher, I really am looking forward to seeing Cam Ward. We're going to have to wait on Shedeur Sanders. Who knows when he's going to get his chance and his opportunity with the Browns. But it's fun. I actually appreciate the fact there's no drama with Cam Ward. There's no stories about his contract. He didn't get pulled over for speeding. All things being considered, it just seems like he's just showing up to work. And I hope he has an amazing year. Do I think he's going to do what Jaden Daniels did last year? Hell no. I don't think that the Tennessee Titans have that type of talent on the team right now. But I think he'll have a good season.
It's also the way his play style is also very fun to watch. So not to mention he doesn't get in trouble and he seems like he loves the trash talk. He loves throwing bombs and he's not afraid to throw the football. So I think that'll translate to the NFL with him. It's something to actually care about with the Titans as of late.
Oh, man, yeah, because God knows there was nothing to care about last year. The biggest story with the Tennessee Titans last year was just Will Levis turning the ball over almost 30 times. Like, the only time the Tennessee Titans were notable was when Brian Callahan was ripping Will Levis to shreds after a game, during a game. The dude looked like he was just losing his hair minute by minute by minute. Just watching Will Levis go out there and play. So we'll get to see Cam Ward out on the field sooner than later, and that'll certainly be something fun to watch, especially the fact that it's been drama-free. Like, there's no big stories. There's nothing bad. It's all positive so far when it comes to Cam Ward. And with a guy like that, you hope that it kind of continues onto the football field as well. But speaking of things going bad, this is not good for Terry Rozier. You know, Terry Rozier playing for the Miami Heat, not a good look. Back when he played for the Charlotte Hornets in 2023, he's been investigated for one game. March 23rd, Hornets versus the Pelicans. A professional bettor placed 30 wagers of about $14,000 on Rozier's unders, okay, in the morning. All 30 bets won. After Terry Rozier left the game after about only 10 minutes with a foot injury, and he hit every single under. 5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Okay? At least 6 sports books in multiple states found this activity to be unusual. And so Terry Rozier is being investigated. Okay? And his attorney is just like, it's not just him. But take a listen to this report. This is Malika Andrews talking about this as well on ESPN.
The NBA confirmed Thursday that suspicious gambling activity surrounding guard Terry Rozier in a game nearly 2 years ago is now being investigated by federal prosecutors as a part of the same probe that led to the lifetime ban of former Raptors player Jontay Porter. Now, at the time, Rozier was playing for the Hornets. The Wall Street Journal, they first reported the investigation, and NBA spokesperson Mike Bass said in a statement, quote, in March 2023, the NBA was alerted to unusual betting activity related to Terry Rozier performance in a game between Charlotte and New Orleans. The league conducted an investigation and did not find a violation of NBA rules. The league said they are cooperating with the U.S. Attorney's Office's investigation here.
Yeah, but if the NBA doesn't find something, and the United States government does, Terry Rozier is going to be in trouble with the NBA. He's not going to have a job in the NBA. And I mean, damn it, he barely does at this point in time. It's kind of wild to think about. Sometimes he seems like he doesn't exist in Miami. 10 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Terry Rozier is the type of guy that all he does is shoot. But in Miami, he's just pretty much falling off the face of the earth. And so it's one thing to think about this situation and Jontay Porter, who's been banned by the NBA, a lifetime banned from the NBA. Terry Rozier might suffer the same fate. Like, with this smoke, this fire. Bacha, how the hell this game, one guy wakes up in the morning and goes, hey, I'm just going to bet all the unders. All the unders hit, 30 different bets. And ironically, that game, Terry Rozier is like, my foot hurts. Like, what are we doing?
Normally, I'd say you can hate on a player or hate watch a player and bet against them. But the fact that it was 30 different bets, I don't care how experienced you are or how little you gamble. Placing 30 bets on one player, all to be failures, there has to be a connection there. 30 bets. It's not like, okay, one or two.
In 45 minutes.
In 45 right. minutes. In the morning.
Yeah. And I just woke up that morning and thought about Terry Rozier. Right? Who does that?
Nobody. And then, of course, he happens to get hurt the same game. Jontay Porter got hurt, too. So it's very, on the same wavelength, it's very suspicious.
Yeah, the headlines are hilarious. Oh, not, well, they're hilarious. Terry Rozier reportedly subject of 30 bets placed over 46 minutes. Oh, my God. Yeah, it doesn't. He's cooked. I mean, his career is seemingly kind of falling off anyway, even though they're paying him a lot of money here. And even though the NBA said, hey, man, you're not guilty, if the government finds him guilty of participating, he's going to be gone, okay?
How does the NBA not find anything, like even remotely close, the way they need to continue investigating? It basically sounds like they're done just waiting for whatever the government finds.
Well, I mean, the NFL does that a lot of times, too. You know, we're waiting on this punishment, whatever happens to Rashee Rice. The NFL sat on that, waited for the legal system to play out. And this is ironic. So as it stands, a couple of weeks ago, just really June 30th, Shams was on Pat McAfee, and he said Terry Rozier, as of now, has been cleared. He finished the season with Miami. There's nothing really active as of right now with him. Shams saying that Terry Rozier has been cleared from his betting scandal. Apparently not. Yeah, the government says otherwise. So Tom Haberstraw says, how are Jontay Porter, Terry Rozier, and Malik Beasley investigations connected? A mysterious figure that went by Moose put those names together months before anyone else did publicly and then deleted his account. I don't know. This just, there's some funny business going on here. And Terry Rozier, still under contract, $26 million. Owed to him from the Miami Heat from 2025 to 2026. How much of that is going to lawyers?
Protecting himself or trying to get away? Just trying to cover himself. Because if he's innocent, not much. Just get a good one lawyer and it should be done quick.
Yeah, this is... we knew this was going to be inevitable. Malik Beasley, yeah, his money's being held up. How much money was he going to make with the Pistons? Like $40 million?
Yeah, it was like over 40, maybe close to 50.
Yeah, Malik Beasley is being investigated by federal authorities for prop bets placed beginning in January of 2024 when he played for the Milwaukee Bucks. He has not been charged. When there's smoke, there's fire, man. And so you hope that's not the case, but we knew this was going to be it. Man, we just talked about the Tennessee Titans and, his name escapes me. He's play here for the Falcons.
Ridley.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley. Like, Calvin Ridley was hurt here in Atlanta. And then all of a sudden, he's placing bets. Like, what are we doing? And it's so easy for the players to pick up their phones and bet and gamble. But the players, they are very much made aware that the leagues have tracking systems, okay? The leagues are paying tracking systems to watch activity from these guys' phones. And so you would be a complete dumbass as a professional athlete right now. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, you'd be a dummy to pick up your phone and place a bet. I wouldn't even have gambling anything you know, on my cell phone, my device. I don't want to hear about it from a friend or a family member. You know, we've heard about guys, you know, having friends go out there and make the bets for them. And sure, you can't stop anybody from doing that. But it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You thought Ipe Mizuhara stealing from Shohei Ohtani was bad? How does a biggest star in baseball get robbed by his own interpreter who has a gambling problem? Wait until we get a big star. And the big star might not be gambling, but the big star might be, you know, kind of moving things around. We are, Bacha, we're due for a scandal, man. We're due for one.
I feel like it's every 3 weeks we see a different one. So we're gonna, like a massive one?
Oh, somebody's thinking that they're above reproach. It's gonna, one day we're gonna get a big name. I mean, come on now. God rest his soul. We had Pete Rose out here. And this is a different day, a different time, a different era. There's so much technology. I don't know. Maybe we'll there's always somebody that wants to get ahead. There's always somebody who thinks that they can outsmart the system. And so, yeah, it's one thing to think about Beasley and barely NBA player Jonte Porter or Terry Rozier. Wait until we get another dude out here promising a guy lots of money to not play. It's going to happen sooner than later, unfortunately. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Guardians are going to change their name back to the Indians. The Commanders are going to go back to being the Redskins. If the president has his way, the answer is yes. We'll talk about this on the other side. The JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.